Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and Veronica Entwistle. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Jackie. How are you doing?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I apologize ahead of time to everybody because I'm kind of not all together. My cells are like coming apart, so, you know, if I kind of fade in and out, you'll know why.
But isn't that what we want as we evolve? We want our cells to come apart.
Yeah, I just don't want to do it quite so fast.
Well, there's no business like show business. It has to be dramatic.
Okay, yeah, right. Well, obviously I was in that line. So tonight's show, Empowerment and Projections. And I love this quote. Unfortunately, I don't know who it was from. The way that you make space in your lives for the other creators to be in their own power will have a tremendous amount to do with how fast you evolve. Now is the time to not only hold your own power, but to help bring it out in every single person you touch.
Hmm.
I love that one.
I do too.
Show dedication tonight is to continue support of Mother Earth with another oil spill in China. Huge. And loving for support for all life forms impacted in both the China and the Gulf oil spill. So we've got, the Earth is bleeding in two different parts of the world right now. And
Lauren, is it one of those deep oils?
You know, I didn't get a chance to get all of it. As I said, Veronica, I'm doing really, really well. I'm only operating on maybe two cylinders. So. Okay, so symptoms.
Bob says it's a broken pipe.
Oh, okay, got it. All I know is that they have no real equipment to do anything with it. It's just very sad. And so Lauren Gergo's Think With Your Heart just came out a few minutes ago, and some of you already get this, but I wanted to share the symptoms part because I just, she's so damn funny. But she's saying neck, head, shoulders, upper back area, tons of pressure that feel like your skull bones are fusing together. She also posted on some forum that it felt like Neo being plugged into the new Matrix through the base of his skull. So I guess you had to see the Matrix movies to get that one. The jaw, TMJ, teeth, ears, throat, and gums are all healing from this intense download in a major way. So you may be having all sorts of related issues in these areas, but that certainly doesn't mean we're all relieved of all the other symptoms like heartburn, middle back pain, nausea, intestinal discomfort, and no siree, Bob, they just piled on top and counted as a bonus symptoms. So yes, the energies are incredibly, incredibly intense. If you're following astrology at all, we're just getting hit with one thing right after the other after the other. So
a big revolutionary sign up should be soon too, eh?
I don't even know anymore.
Well, you're in your own revolution anyway.
I am in a revolution. There is no question about that. So, at any rate, yes, in the last couple of days, I've had a total come apart, and I know if it's happening to me this big, that there's an opportunity for everyone to experience some part of this. Hopefully not as dramatically as I seem to do it, however. So I'm just going to give some background since we've been working with, certainly with the power retrievals, the mainframe mother and father, and projections from there, because all projections actually stem from mom and dad. So the background here is that my son facilitated an opportunity to try to find some information about my father, who, as every, you know, I don't know if everybody, all the listeners know, but it's been a whole lifelong thing that there's really no record of him. Of his death, yes, but no record of his birth or anything that we can really trace of any substance, okay? And it's so hidden that when I called my mother at one point, who I was estranged from, needless to say, and asked where she was married to him, she just not only disowned me, but disinherited me. And so that was, I thought, pretty big.
That might be an overreaction. What do you think?
Could have been. It cost me about a mil. So,
she was projecting.
Evidently. And, Anyway, so to date, it's been pretty much a dead end. My son was just up in Utah this weekend, visited with him as they're still trying. They don't even know what direction to go with this. But he spent time with my ex-husband and his father. So his father spent the weekend talking about our lives together as a family and all the fun that he and I used to have and all the laughs we had and just doing some really lovely reminiscing. And he came up with something that just kind of blew me out of the water, that had we stayed in California instead of moving to Utah up with his parents up there, that our lives would have been so different and that it was the biggest mistake he ever made and that we should have stayed there, that we would probably all still be together. Now, I thought moving there for a year and a half. I packed and unpacked for a year and a half. I mean, this was just, I never got rid of the boxes because it was a constant battle. But it hit me so strong that he had done so much thinking and that he was absolutely right that had we not moved there, our lives, I mean, this is not to say that anything is right or wrong, good or bad. But the fact that he's doing this huge life review where I'm concerned, and there had been so much bad blood between us. He has been so angry at me for so long and wrote me this beautiful card and, you know, things have just, he's really, you know, he's not well. But, I mean, he was one of my father projections. So that was Monday that my son shared all that with me. And the beautiful part for me that he was reliving all the good and happy times. And I thought that was just incredibly loving. And I felt this loving energy coming towards me. So on Monday, I gave my son, I had to write somebody to get the number for my uncle who lives in Minneapolis, who's the only living person that knew my father. And he and I have been somewhat estranged as well because of what happened when my mother died. So I've really only spoken to him a couple of times in my life. The family really, you know, it was, because I lived in all the foster homes and so on, I really was never really part of the family. So I gave my son the number and told him to call my uncle. And he called my uncle and was completely overwhelmed with the connection that he felt for my uncle, wanted to get on a plane immediately and fly there to see him. As my uncle was telling my son stories about what he and my father did together, my son was completely unraveled by this, about how strong he felt this connection towards my uncle. And the next morning he got up, and as he was leaving for work, he said, you know, Mom, for years we've kind of talked off and on about the fact that I could be a reincarnation of your father. He said, I was in the shower this morning, and I'm absolutely convinced now that I am. And I'm just like, this is not, now it's a 1-2 punch, okay? Because, again, another father projection with my uncle, okay? Now my son saying, yes, I'm now convinced that I was, you know, your father. And especially because he remembers dying in the ambulance on the way to the hospital, my son does. So he there was not a big turnaround between his death and rebirth. So, that's two. Then, I mean, this stuff has been coming at me like just boom, boom, boom. On Tuesday, the love of my life, who I haven't seen in, 16 years, and I haven't talked to him for... oh Lord, 11 years, started emailing me nonstop, and so far I've received, I believe, a total of 60 emails. I think I counted them up. And coming from him were all of the things I have waited, and this is actually the anniversary this month. I met him 20 years ago this month. All the things that I waited all the time I knew him for him to say, and all these years in between, he is now saying to me, what a great mother I am, and what a lovable person I am, and how this and how that, and all this outpouring from his heart of how he feels about me, things that he has never said before, and I'm just kind of blown away, and I'm thinking, and this was a major father projection with him, as it was with my ex-husband. My uncle a little bit, but my ex-husband and this man, I don't want to use names, were huge. And so I have been, at a cellular level, just feeling myself kind of coming apart, because it's very hard for me to kind of wrap myself around everything that's happening, because it's coming in at such a deeply emotional level and at a cellular level. And I'm just kind of like, oh, my God. And here were people who have been angry at me, my ex-husband and RM, because I left him. And but to have this outpouring of love from father projections, and to be able to see so clearly that they are father projections. Now, I had one more. The same day when I first started getting emails from him, Tuesday, my cousin, who I have adored since I was a little tiny girl, and who has not been in touch with me at all. Again, this whole family thing, people did not like my mother. It was understandable. Sends me this. I don't open it until Wednesday and don't realize it's from him until Wednesday. I would have opened it on Tuesday had I realized it. And what it said was, to get something you never had, you have to do something you never did. When God takes something from your grasp, he's not punishing you, but merely opening your hands to receive something better. Concentrate on this sentence. The will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not protect you. Something good will happen to you today. Something that you've been waiting to hear. And I'm just like, oh my God. And I looked at the timing of this email. It came in before the ones from my ex. And so that's pretty much my story for the week.
Oh, is that all?
No. So, of course, in the midst of all of this, I've got both my children living with me, and I've been laughing all, you know, sort of laughing this week about how it's like we've turned back the hands of time. I mean, I've got my two kids and fighting over chores and who's going to do what, and doing what kids do, although they are not kids. One's 42, one's 48, but you'd never know it. And of course, in the meantime, the air conditioning breaks. It's 110 here. The pool breaks down, so we couldn't go in the pool even to cool off. And I'm just like, oh, my God. So I am now totally out of my comfort zone. I have to sleep downstairs on a couch instead of in my beautiful bedroom next to the healing room. And so I've just continued to be totally undone. This was another quote from Lauren Grogel, and I love this because it really hit me tonight. The amount of love and fearlessness that we are able to hold within our bodies will determine the level we are catapulted through these remaining portals. And I have to say that I am filled with love. There is no question about that. I've just had everything kind of unravel. All of the ways that I've had men holding energy in my life, the major men in my life. There was so much hurt and betrayal and this, that, and the other thing. And all of that has just kind of completely broken down. And I think the irony of this is looking for my father seemed to open this whole kind of Pandora's box. Of the whole breaking down of all of the father projections. And now where all of this is going to go, I have no idea, I must tell you. My uncle, you know, who told my son, I love your mom so much, please have her call me you know, after all this estrangement, this lovely thing from my cousin. It's just been kind of overwhelming, and I don't usually completely come apart, but this has pretty much completely taken me apart. So, Veronica, you want to jump in here?
Well, it's hard to beat that one, Jackie. You do have a penchant for doing quite a lot at once. This is pretty good, and I really see that you're going to... I don't know. I think you're going to have to just evolve 100 miles an hour, which you were already doing, but since this big cellular shift, eh? That's what it looks like to me.
I think so. And I, interestingly enough, I was talking to a client today, and she was talking about the same thing of watching the program Glee, that she's watching this program, and in an attempt to kind of rewrite that time in her life. And so we kind of got into this hands of time discussion about, because everything is so fluid right now, and the past is not solid, everybody. I mean, we can be hooked into our stories, but we have the option of choosing a different past. And, you know, that
even bring different strings from it, can't we? Focuses, yeah.
Absolutely, because the past is not solid anyway.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you have all these parallel dimensions actually to choose from. If you can really do that, if you can get to that place emotionally, to be able to, and, you know, and meditatively, to actually be able to connect to some alternative reality. And, you know, my ex-husband brought this forward so completely when he said, if we didn't move to Utah, how different our life would have been. And I spent the whole day in between sessions thinking, wow, and going back kind of in time, thinking about all the changes that would have, everything that would have been different. We would have not had all the family interference and all the family drama and so on and so forth. And, I mean, there were lots of potential realities that could have been very much different than what they were, where we were. And I wasn't looking at it in regret at all, but in fascination that he was exploring an alternative reality where I never even thought to go there, because to me, I was just, you know, done. But I think with all that's coming in right now, all these energies being downloaded into us, everything is becoming so incredibly fluid. And how we deal with things, and how, which I'm finding even in dealing with my great love, if you want to call him that. I mean, it's been a great love for me, you know, whether anybody else knew that, it didn't matter. But certainly one I couldn't shake off, and he's admitted, you know, you've tried to shed me, and I've tried to shed you, and it's impossible, you know. But
so what do you recommend? Do you recommend that we go into like a vision of the past and totally rearrange it and rearrange our...
Well, you know, Lazarus used to talk about doing scripting, that you could re-script the past. We know now that there are alternative realities, but you can do it in whatever fashion you desire. You can either float into an alternate reality where whatever it was that undid you didn't happen. Okay, because every time you come to a crossroads, there's a break apart, a split apart, where the alternate reality is lived. And that's what really hit me with what my husband said, is, wow, there's an alternate reality where he and I actually did not move to Utah and stayed there. And he, in his own way, tapped into that at some level. And I thought, wow, is that fascinating? So what do I recommend? You know, the scripting part, going back, and I did a lot of this work with Lazarus, going back and being the future self of your child or your adolescent, and stepping in when something happens to them and changing it right on the spot. You know, stopping the father from hitting them, or stopping the male from molesting them, or whatever. Okay? Or from mother, you know, doing something terrible. And changing, and I did a lot of that work with some of the things that did happen, because I had a lot of abuse in my life. And, but I really believe at this point that this whole thing about kind of turning back the hands of time, I'm really feeling that this week is just so overpowering to me because all of this stuff is kind of coming at me. And but then to talk to somebody who also is having that experience but just doing it very innocently through watching a television program that allows her to kind of relive that time in her mind and recreate it in a different way for herself. And
I don't know Glee at all. Is that just
oh my God, it's like one of the number one programs on television. It's just
it's
adorable. I can't sit through, you know, a 60-minute program, so or 30 or whatever it is, but it's about a high school performing arts group, a chorus, and it's very, very, very clever. It's really, all the stars even want to be on it because it's the singers especially want to be on it. It's a very clever program, but I think it's a wonderful time to also look at these projections. And out of the reason I wrote projections and empowerment, not only what it said about the more we empower others, the more empowered we become as well, but realizing that I have an opportunity, you know, and I'm sending lots of love and light to my ex-husband because I know he's not well, and to, which we did have a sort of miracle. His aneurysm shrunk, which we know is medically impossible, so he didn't have to have surgery. And, and realizing that as these projections are off, if we can remove the projections, start really seeing them clearly, where we projected father or mother onto different people, how different those relationships can be.
It's almost like people are writhing under the projections, right?
Of course they are. And we can't see the person clearly because we're still dealing with unfinished business with mom or dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not dealing with the real soul energy of the person in our experience. First we see the projection, and then we might get glimpses, you know, of who the person really is. And it's very interesting because I had a therapist that this man and I went to when we were breaking up, who said, you have projected mom and dad onto him. You don't even know who he is. And so I thought that was really interesting.
Did you smack him?
No, actually. And what's interesting is the reactions and the words he's saying, the things he's saying right now are so totally, completely the opposite that, you know, I just keep thinking, you know, who is this and what have you done with him? You know, it's like, but it really isn't so much him as it is the fact that I don't have the projections on them. And so, I mean, Veronica, can you think of people that you've projected onto?
Oh,
mom
yeah.
or dad?
Well, I was talking tonight on my show that Dwal Kool talks about everyone is projecting all of the time.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about that. That's the way we create reality, actually. But go ahead.
Yeah, that when I first read that, I laughed and laughed and laughed because it's such a, it's like, okay, here we are in a projection soup. How do you authenticate, right? So, yeah, I was talking earlier also just with Bob about being afraid people are mad at me, that kind of thing, which I think came directly from my mom and in a channeling.
Absolutely.
In my guides were talking about how my own lineage is like that. There's a real judgment and a like a separative kind of judgment, which Bob's lineage is different, you know, and they talked about projections coming right down through the cellular.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. That's a really, really good point, by the way. And
they said we could get out of it.
Yes, and I've had this discussion with my daughter about what I'm going through right now will impact her and my grandchildren and my great-grandchild in terms of the distortions with the father figure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because she had it in her life experience, my son had it in his, although he's, you know, really clear with his dad, but but especially along the female line. And both the granddaughters have it, and the grandson have it with their father. So it's all the way through.
Well, I think I told you once I was on my way to a therapist to hope to save my marriage, my second marriage, and this woman appeared in the back seat of my car, and she annoyed me because she sat right behind me, which made it really hard to see her, and she was a spirit being, and she looked like my mother, but not quite. So it turns out she was a great-grandmother, a great-great-grandmother, I think. And what she said, and when I got to the psychotherapist, he said, oh, who came with you? Because he could see her, too. And she said to me that she had been the one that kind of installed the attitude the women in that lineage, in that line, had toward men, toward themselves in the context of relationship. And I thought that was a pretty good lesson. It was pretty clear, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, if I go back, my mother was basically a man-hater. And, you know, I would never call myself a man-hater at all. But
there might be a fear in the middle of all that that you would take on.
I'm sure that that's possible, although I think with the loss of my father, there was such a longing in me to replace him. And my aunt said I used to run up to strangers and say, will you be my daddy, will you be my daddy, will you, you know, just going to man to man to man to man. So I think that...
So you could have been a real wild woman.
Could have been. you know, it wouldn't have been a bad thing for a while. I just, you know, I've always been very busy. I won't say that I didn't kick my heels up here and there, but nothing extreme.
But it is, that's a really interesting story about how, how it all goes together. I mean, how we do get driven by some of these deep things, eh?
Well, especially not remembering me doing that or anything, but realizing how desperate I was to replace that male figure.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was so wonderful to me. I mean, I was lost without him.
Aww.
He was like, you know, the sun rose and set in him. So he's gone at five. I mean, literally gone at five. And so obviously I spent the rest of my life trying to replace him in some fashion. I mean, not today, which I think is very, very interesting. I don't need a father figure. I'm, you know,
but could it be that you're projecting the loss? You know what I mean? The word projection is sort of interesting to me.
Well, you mean the fear of loss?
Yeah. Or any aspect of the loss. I suppose it wouldn't have to be just directly one thing or the other. I'm just thinking that you've had a lot of loss around men.
Huge. And betrayal.
And here we've had the Match.com.
Lost and the MOIs.
But you see what I'm saying? Don't you think it's relevant? I mean, don't you think it all...
You know, the Match.com guys, I don't even consider in there, but I would say that the reason I haven't really been in a major intimate relationship, you know, on all levels for so many years is that after, you know, love of my life, you know, that was so painful to walk away from that I think for me, and I didn't even realize until this week just how much my heart was shut down. Oh, God. This has been physically painful. So I can tell you to hear these words from him that I've waited so long to hear. It's like, I mean, and, you know, there's been a lot of things said that it is blowing me wide open. And I think what I did do is I just literally stepped out of relationship altogether because I didn't want to ever go through that pain again.
Mm.
Even though I was still out there looking and so on and so forth. But, you know, if you'll notice, they come and go, come and go, come and go, come and go. I blow through them very quickly. and don't get intimate with them, which I think is really interesting. I don't sleep with them.
Mm-hmm.
And because to me that's, you know, pretty sacred. So, no one has qualified.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that also very, very interesting. And but you know, were there some of the projections in there in terms of the well? And I think the real key here was that I had projected father onto my husband, and then I had father and husband projected on to my love. So he didn't really have a prayer, because the ex-husband, there had been so much betrayal and so much that went on in that 20-year marriage, and then the loss of husband or the loss of father, that by the time I got to him, all that I came with all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So we didn't really have a prayer anyway.
Well, yeah, because you would have a certain amount of shutdown going on.
Well, what I think I did, there was definitely some shutdown, fear of love, and what was very interesting to me was how quickly I let go of who I was and tried to earn love, which is what a child does with a parent.
Hmm.
And so instead of holding my autonomy, it was doing all these things that I thought needed to be done in order to be loved.
Hmm.
Which, of course, as soon as you give yourself up, you end up resenting them anyway.
That whole loss of self is the big thing we're working on all the way through, isn't it?
Huge, huge,
loss of self to rejection, that's the whole thing tonight.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, I think this should work as a blast for you to get all of that cleared out.
Yes, even stuff I didn't even realize I had. It has just been pouring out this last couple of days. And I'm, like I said, it's cellular and it's literally coming out of myself. That's the part that I'm so clear about.
Hmm.
Not very comfortable people. So
she's just oozing men.
Well, you know, and dear Natalia, who many of you know that went to the intensive, got a message directly, which was that a lot of course, we know a lot of this was kind of initiated by the opening of this Stargate coming up, and evidently they had to accelerate me through whatever needed to be cleared in order to do this, which I told her, if you ever sign me up for another intensive, I'll kill you. And of course, I always say that. And the other thing was the opening of the masculine high heart, the archetypal high heart. And I think all of these male figures were very powerful male figures, which I think is very, very interesting. Very different archetypal masculine male figures. So, you know, I think there's some of that in there as well. And I'm going to let the team come in, though. And I think they're far more articulate tonight than I can be.
You did just fine.
All right. Well, she fumbled through that, but that's all right. All right. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, Veronica.
Thank you. And you.
Thank you. So good to be with all of you. All right. Now, you do have a lot of very interesting astrological influences coming up, which are going to give you additional opportunities. Very big opportunities to look at your lives and to look at your projections and also to be aware of where you can empower others. You'll be more cognizant of it because you're all taking more of your own power. And we've been working with all of you for a very long time, and we see what you're doing, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful. As you diligently, all of you, try to step into your power. Now, when we say power, that doesn't mean power over, and it doesn't mean snarky power. It means being fully present in who you are. and loving yourselves, embracing yourselves, honoring yourselves, having wonderful boundaries, loving for you, and ultimately then loving for those around you as well. Now, what you will also see, not in the accelerated fashion of the channel, but opportunities to reach out and heal what's unhealed, especially in relationship, where you have assumed that there were offenses on either side, especially where family is concerned. Or great friends, people that you've been close to in your life, that you've ended up estranged for one reason or another, as you've gone through this game of life, playing out your different plays. But all that is starting to drop now, as the veils are coming down. You're going to be able to see people more as who they really are, the true being that they are. So it goes beyond just projections, because the projections are coming off at the same time. The veils are coming down. So you're able to see them more authentically for both reasons. As the veil comes down, it allows the projection to come off more easily, you see. Now this is a time, of course, you're going to want to really look at people not from a perspective of judgment. You know, we've talked about compassionate detachment. And the more that you're in that compassionate detachment, the more you allow the other person to show who they really are. And the more you're out of projection, you will see who they really are. And then you can interact with them as soul to soul, without all the games. Now, it's going to be in varying degrees with different people. And it may be great today and not as great tomorrow. But it's in process. It's in process. Allowing all of you to be more authentic, and also in your world, becoming more and more clear where you're projecting into your world, your own personal fears, your own lack of self-esteem and self-love and value. And as you're able to drop those, your world's going to reflect that back to you more and more and more. You won't need the defenses. Oh, boundaries, yes. You don't want to give up boundaries, because those are self-honoring. Now, not arbitrary boundaries. You know, I'm so important, you can't do that. Not that kind of a boundary. This is my boundary because I love myself. I honor myself. This is what's important to me. And I'm authentic enough to be able to tell you so that we can have a wonderful coexistence, whether you're friends, lovers, or family, or acquaintances. It doesn't matter what it is. Now, Veronica.
Yes.
Do you feel that you've projected, or that you can actually recognize a projection in your life?
I'm just thinking as you said all that I can project limitations a lot. You know, project that I can't do
something.
All right,
what kind of limitations?
For example, on reaching out and establishing more of a market, being kind of timid, backing up, not... You know, I think that I'm projecting that I'm not really that kind of person. I'm projecting that I would never be able to succeed in that. I project, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, underneath that, as you're speaking to us, is that I'm not good enough or I'm not worthy. Have you looked at those?
Yes. They're a little hard, aren't they?
Yes, of course they are. Now, this one that I'm not good enough is going to come up for a lot of you. We're wanting to step into more of what you're feeling is being born in you. Many of you are being born into the sense of it's time for me to do some kind of healing work on people or energy work or something of this nature, but I don't know how to go about it and how do I know it's going to work? In your case, Veronica, it is the media.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think part of it is stepping, you know, I live in a fairly, a lot of people in my situation live in a fairly reclusive reality, talking all over the place over the phone and over the radio. But now I have to step forward in the physical, right? And, you know what I mean? Step into the television thing, step into the media, but I can't hide out in my house looking at the Eagles and talking on the phone, you know?
So you're losing some of your anonymity.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of projections in that, too.
But all right. What do you want to talk about them a little bit?
I don't even know if I can explain. It's just that there's a fear of going forward. It's more like having to go in through a membrane of some, through the glass darkly, right? Through a membrane of some sort into a whole different world. And that brings up a lot of funny discomforts, disquiets. And I think a lot of that's projection, too. How people are going to see me, what they're going to expect. That's all projection, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. When you're totally confident with who you are, when you're confident with who you are, people will respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not confident in what you're doing and who you are, fully confident, they're going to love me, this material is wonderful, I'm having a great time. Remember, you're working in energy here, people. In energy, you're setting the tone, the frequency, the vibration of what you're putting out there.
That's conscious projections, right?
Well, yes, from your perspective. But you're also setting a tone, a vibration of frequency that then resonates, draws, attracts other frequencies. And if you're fearing being judged, you're going to draw in people that are going to judge you. If you're fearing that you're not enough, you won't be well received, you're going to attract in vibrationally those that are going to be critical. What you want to be doing is attracting a lot of high-powered people that see the material that you're sharing. They can go out there and reach out in the world. Now, this is not to say that all of you aren't high-powered. Don't misunderstand how it works here. But people that are going to carry it out, move it forward. For those that are working out of their homes or stay in a very small area, that's all right. We're not criticizing that. But you have a very short period of time to get information moving all over your planet and vibration moving all over your planet and frequency moving all over your planet. We're going to go into that more next week. Does that make sense, Veronica?
Yes, it does, actually.
So your commitment then, and when you kind of refocus and say, all right, this is my commitment to Earth. This is my commitment to humanity. And through that, the energy of what you do will feel wonderful. That you won't have that fear of what other people are going to think, because they'll be joining with you in the importance of what's being done.
I'm chuckling about the use of the word commitment is a little like a very conscious projection, too. I'm just seeing it the way we're talking right now.
It was seeing what, which one, commitment?
Commitment is like a very conscious projection of energy in the world.
Of course it is. Mm-hmm. It is a conscious projection. Because if you're sitting in that, now it's got power and will to it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yes, I like that.
Yes. You are committed, and there is a bigger commitment to the greater good. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
That then is being created co-creatively because of all of those on the other side of the veil that want to join you in bringing this forward. You understand?
Mm-hmm. The multidimensional resonance.
It is multidimensional, very much so. Very much so. And you will find after this stargate is opened, you're going to see a lot more interaction than you've had in the past. These are your family and friends who've been waiting to come in more directly to work with all of you. We'll talk about that next week as well.
Very exciting.
Now, what other projections do you have around this? Because as we look at you, again, we see Mother's energy in here.
Hmm. Well, I was just going to say that earlier today, and this is telling on myself, but I guess it's okay. I was feeling that sometimes when you go ahead as an intuitive and you go into a group of people, people are very uncomfortable because of the in quotes, power it seems to emanate. It can distress people, confuse people, make them unhappy. So I don't know if that comes from my mother, but I was complaining about that earlier.
Oh, yes. Well, we don't know where it came from either, but it's one that we'd recommend you get rid of.
But it is there. It's something I just recognized today as something that's kind of...
Now, how did you see that to be true for you?
I can't remember. Oh, yes. I heard in my family, well, I guess I won't do it in the family. I go out in places, and sometimes people don't want to associate with the people who will be having a nice little group, and they don't necessarily want to associate with me because of the work I do. They're afraid. I've just experienced that.
All right. Well, now, hold on just a minute.
So I continue to make that projection in groups is what I'm saying.
All right. Hold on. As long as you come in with absolute clarity,
mm-hmm.
and always use the caveat, Veronica, that you will never invade someone's space.
Right.
All right? They're looking for that assurance. It's like psychiatrists and psychologists don't have a lot of friends, all right? And intuitives can have a lot of friends. Or very few. Now, the friends you do have are going to be very authentic people.
Yes.
Because they're not worried about being seen, are they?
No.
Mm-mm. All right.
And they're fellow explorers sometimes.
Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Where the idea of getting to the truth is more important than how you got there.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yes. And actually, the assumption, again, this is mixed in the projections, but the assumption is somewhere I would be judging something that's going on in them, which, A, I wouldn't be looking in the first place, and second, I would hope I wouldn't just go around judging it, you know, but people would.
Well, then those are things that you want to address in the work that you do.
That's right.
Hi, I'm Veronica. I'm an intuitive. Here's what my assurance is to all of you. You can talk to me. I'm not going to look inside. I won't pry. I will respect your privacy. And I will never judge you. Because we're all a work in progress, or whatever little thing you want to say.
Yeah, I'll often just say, you know what, I don't look unless I'm invited. So, because, you know, some people do. Some people walk in and start telling you all about your life, you know, but I don't do that sort of thing.
Well, the... Well, we would say that's not really necessary, but if it's their way of doing it, that's fine. That would be just saying, oh, look at how good I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all right, too. But being an intuitive, because you all are intuitive, everyone that's listening here, whether you realize it or not, whether you call it that or not, honoring that and having fun with that, and it's going to become, oh, very, very important. You know, companies are going to be hiring intuitives, and it's going to become a very important part of your society. Very honored as well, in a very short order.
Mm-hmm.
So, once again, Veronica, sometimes being as intuitive as you are, it's not the experience that can kind of turn you around. What it is the way you interpret the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because you take it as a rejection.
Yes.
All right. And this is where mother is. This is what we were seeing in there earlier. This is mother. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere in there, you were always made to feel that you were broken. You weren't enough. You weren't good enough. You were broken in some fashion. Not acceptable is the word that we would say.
Mm-hmm.
And that runs deep. So you do
maybe
project that out into your world, not onto others, but into your world. It comes back through others.
Well, yes. I'd like to be done with that.
Well, we think it's time we were.
Okay.
So go into your will,
mm-hmm,
and into your commitment about what you're doing. And then you won't worry about what other people are feeling.
That's right.
Because that becomes their issue, not yours. They then have the opportunity to look at themselves. Why am I feeling this? Oh, am I so private? I don't want anybody looking into me. Why am I so private? What do I have to hide?
Mm.
You see, eventually you'll become more and more telepathic, all of you, and there won't be anywhere to hide.
Be a team, and we'll have to close this pretty soon. So.
Oh, all right. Veronica, well, go ahead and talk about your shows next week.
Okay, my show on Tuesday night is at 8 o'clock. It's Terry Ryan, and he's talking about alternative energy. He does windmill, that kind of thing. And on Thursday, I think I'm going to continue with projections, which is what we were talking about tonight before you were talking about projections. So it's a good subject.
Wonderful. All right. Well, we would like to work with all of you tonight, if you're willing. Certainly, we will never force ourselves on you. And it will be in conjunction with your higher selves. Please understand this, people. Always with your higher selves. To help open some place where you are holding or projecting in a way that is holding you back. Holding you back from embracing more of yourself, because you see, with the masculine, feminine, mom, dad, those projections, all right, unhealed for whatever reason, don't allow you to be fully embracing your own masculine and feminine in the beautiful way that you're going to hold it very shortly. And also, it's holding back, especially for those of you that are carrying a lot of anger at men, holding them back because they're going through such a very big transition right now on the planet. Healing a lot of their shame. Being able to be courageous enough to come forward in a loving manner. And as the shame falls away, they're able to do that. And you can then have an authentic relationship with all these different people. So if you desire, we'll come in and work with you tonight on an area. And when you call us in, please be specific. All right. Am I projecting dad or mom somewhere that's really not serving me? Am I carrying anger at the masculine or feminine and bringing it back into my experience in a negative way, which keeps me from integrating them? All right, dear ones, know that we love you so very much. It's always a pleasure to be with you. Dear Veronica, as always, the guinea pig, we love you so much.
Well, thank you for the work you did with me. I'm a changed woman. You are.
Well, we put you on the hot seat. Sometimes we don't mean to, but it just kind of evolves, and you're so delightful.
It worked for me. It worked for me, and I thank you so much.
All right. We love you, everyone, so very, very much. There are such exciting times ahead for all of you. You can't even imagine yet. So don't have any fear about what's coming. Be excited to get up every day. New experiences, new ways of knowing yourselves, of experiencing yourselves, of loving yourselves, and then in turn, everyone else. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you so much.
My little one. Are we off the air?
No, we're still on.
Oh, okay. All right. Good night, everyone. We love you so very much. A piece of Veronica and I are in each and every one of you, and a piece of each and every one of you are in us, because we are all one. It can be no other way. And it's so great to be with you. We love you all so very, very much. Good night. Night, Ronnie. Love you.
Good night. Love you too, Jackie. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Night, Seth.